Support comes from ARC Industries, providing business solutions to Columbus's industrial, retail, and commercial markets, and helping people with disabilities find meaningful work. ARC Industries, dedicated to the success of its customers, employees, and community. ARC Industries is online at arcind.com.
Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts in the summertime, especially. Summer is nearly upon us, although the weather has been playing tricks on us lately. We've already had the fantastic Columbus Arts Festival, and we look forward to a lot more sponsored by and supported by the Greater Columbus Arts Council. And we just so happen to have somebody here from GCAC, Jamie Goldstein. Welcome.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks
it's great
for being
to be here.
With us today, and you have brought with you a musician, an artist, Chaz Meckenbier.
Hi, Christopher. Hi.
And you are part of one of the things you do, part of what you do is going to be involved in the Buskers program that GCAC has put forth. So we will talk about that, and later in the broadcast, Chaz will play for us. And Dion Bennett is the artistic director and diva of Opera Project Columbus. Opera Project Columbus presents Pagliacci this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Jewish Center of Columbus. You can go to operaproject.org for all of the information. And full disclosure, I have to say, I am involved with this production, so just to make sure everybody understands that. But there's a lot more besides my involvement to talk about with Pagliacci coming up. Later in this broadcast, we hope to be joined by John Kuhn of Actors Theatre Columbus. They're now presenting Hamlet in Schiller Park. That's gotten a lot of very positive attention and big crowds. I was there the other night, and crowded and wonderful it was. That's just their first production for the summer, and when he gets here, he will tell us a little bit more. Jamie Goldstein, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
GCAC. What's the buzz? Have you recovered from the Arts Festival? Tell me about how that went.
I am recovered, I believe. The Arts Festival was wonderful. We really appreciate everybody that came out. And we had a little rain on Sunday, but it was a beautiful weekend. Really beautiful weekend. And we're proud to be part of sort of the kickoff of the Columbus downtown festival season. Of course, the Asian Festival happened a couple weeks ago, but now things really kick into high gear here in Columbus.
On all the bridges, everywhere you walked around the riverfront, there were wares to be displayed and artists worked to be purchased and looked at. We know the food and such was much marvelous, but really the artwork too, which was juried, I understand, was terrific. How does one, if I'm a craftsperson, how do I get to come to the Columbus Arts Festival?
We have a blind jury process. So we open the application in October, and we get about 1,100 applications for approximately 300 spots in 16 different disciplines. So everything from glass to ceramics to painting to photography, sculpture, metal, wood. We also have an emerging artist program, which I think is really important here for Columbus artists, particularly for artists who haven't had the opportunity to exhibit in a large scale outdoor festival. We give them a reduced price. We have a boot camp for them to help them understand what is involved in setting up and being a part of a festival of the size of the Columbus Arts Festival.
The festival has been going on how long?
This was our 53rd year.
No kidding, really. Have you noticed, you haven't been with them for 53 years, and believe it or not, neither have I, although I feel like it sometimes. But have you noticed differences or changes? There was a change of venue, and then you were down by the museum, and then you moved back because of the construction downtown. How was that?
Well, the festival started on the State House lawn when it first began, and then we were on the riverfront for many years. And when they did the riverfront reconstruction and the reconstruction of the Scioto Mile, we had great partners over in the Discovery District with CCAD and the Columbus Museum of Art. And that was a wonderful temporary home for us. But the overwhelming sentiment amongst the public was, we want you back on the riverfront.
On the river, sure.
And the response has been tremendous. People love wandering the bridges with the artists and just having all the green space downtown. And the parks are so beautiful. They just really did a nice job with the riverfront. So we're grateful to the city for everything they did to make that such a spectacular home for us.
I know that when they talk about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, they always say we start work on next year Thanksgiving Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. When do you start work on the next arts festival?
Maybe not the very next day, but pretty quickly. It is a year-round planning. staffing event. We have three full-time staff people that work on the arts festival. And the logistics required with 300 plus artists, 50 food vendors, 20 plus sponsors is, and then of course everything else that's attendant to basically setting up a little city in the middle of the city for 3 days. So it's very time intensive, and we're grateful to our staff, our festival director Scott Huntley, and coordinators in all, and Kez. They just work tirelessly, and we have I would be remiss if I didn't thank all of our volunteers, both on-site and a coordinating committee of nearly 100 volunteers who work year-round to make the festival happen.
Let's talk about revenue. How much does this bring into the city of Columbus?
Well, you know, the festival fluctuates. Obviously, we're very weather-dependent. Mm-hmm. We get booth fees from artists and food vendors, but we make our money on beverage sales.
Booze or primarily?
Yeah, and non-alcoholic and
pop and
water. But yes, beer is very popular, as is wine. And we want people to have a good time when they come down, obviously, and that's an important part of it. So for the past couple of years, we've done very well. But there have been years when the festival, you know, hasn't made any money. When we do make proceeds, we take that money and reinvest it back into the community for arts and education programming.
The GCAC is funded by the bed tax, right?
That's correct.
Tracks, yes.
The festival is completely privately supported. We depend on our sponsors and the revenue that we generate to make the festival happen each year. There's no city funds that go into the festival. However, we have great partners with the city. Between the Columbus Police Department and the Rec and Parks Department, we couldn't do this festival without them either.
It was a great festival, and I congratulate you again. We're going to talk more about that, and we have an artist with us, which is terrific. We'll hear from him shortly. And John Kuhn will be along to talk about Actors Theatre Columbus. Dion Bennett is here from Opera Project Columbus. So let me say to you, Dion, so opera, fat people screaming at each other in foreign languages, totally irrelevant, ridiculous. Discuss.
I absolutely love opera. And no, not fat people. Not always. We have some incredible, incredible singers, and especially here in the Columbus area. We have a maestro, Maestro Alessandro Siciliani, who was born to do opera, I do believe. He knows the language. He knows all the nuances. He knows all the backstories of any operas that you could even bring up. And he is fabulous with young singers or older singers. It doesn't matter. And he's fantastic with the orchestra.
How is Opera Project Columbus different than Opera Columbus?
One of the things that...
They're two distinct companies, right?
Yes, two distinct companies. The reason that Opera Project Columbus came about was because our Central Ohio singers were not celebrated. Our Central Ohio singers. So Opera Project Columbus came up, two people, they were sitting in a chorus and said, let's start an opera company. And they actually did. They started this opera company. They got friends that always wanted to sing that were here in Ohio, here in Columbus, actually. And they got them together and put together a Suor Angelica that was fabulous. And it even, you know, it made the newspaper, the dispatches, you know, 10 best things to see.
I should mention also that Alessandro Siciliani, the longtime music director of the Columbus Symphony, and
yes,
remains a very popular figure in this community, and he is your music director. He conducts all the performances.
And absolutely.
He's conducting Pagliacci this weekend, which is about a troupe of clowns. It's one of these rather horrible circus stories. It's a troupe of clowns in a terrible kind of a traveling caravan thing, and they go from little town to little town,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of jealousy, and there are two murders, and if you want to know more, you got to buy tickets. I want to play a little music from Pagliacci now. This is a chorus from the beginning of the opera, as, believe it or not, everybody goes to church. They don't stay there briefly, but this is the gypsy chorus. That's a little bit of music from Leoncavallo's one-act opera Pagliacci, or Clowns, that is performed Saturday and Sunday this weekend at the Jewish Center of Columbus by Opera Project Columbus. We've been talking to the project's artistic director, Dion Bennett, who is also, and I have to say this, she is singing a lead role in this production only because I and several other people insisted that she do so.
Yes.
So, you know, she is well worth hearing. We have great singers, a great core. It's a big show in a little space.
Oh, my gosh.
And, in fact, there are two murders, and they're done. Basically, they'll die in your lap if you're sitting by the stage here.
Yeah. Interactive theater.
Right. Absolutely.
So, briefly, before we go to our first break, tell me about when you say you needed a performance platform for the young opera singers in Columbus. I know that people have said, what young opera? What are you talking about, opera singers in Columbus? And
we have in Columbus, okay, we have Ohio State. That's the college. And then, but we have these people who have actually studied. They have the skill. They have the talent. Some of them have beat the streets of New York. They have done all of these things and for some reason have decided to live in Columbus. We have bankers, we have kindergarten teachers, we have lawyers, we have all a whole array of people who have actually, they could be at the Met if they really wanted to be.
Well, your tenor for this, his name is Tim Culver, could be. And I asked, he's up from Kent, I think.
Yes, he is.
And I asked him what everybody asks him, what the are you doing in Ohio? And he said, I'm living a life. I'm raising kids. I'm mowing the lawn. I teach a lot. I sing when I can. But, you know, I've got a mortgage and I have responsibilities and I need to be grounded somewhere. And I'm happy to be here. So
absolutely.
He certainly could hit the ball out of the park, this guy. He could have had the big career.
Absolutely.
And he may yet do so.
Yes.
Opera Project Columbus's Pagliacci is this weekend. Dion Bennett is here. We also have Jamie Goldstein from the Greater Columbus Arts Council. And she has brought with her Charles Menkenbeyer. And Charles, I wonder for a couple of minutes if you can give us a little music, and then when we come back from break, you'll give us more.
Hey, I'd be glad to. A little summertime fun.
Thank you.
Just got home from Illinois. Locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in. Pretty soon I'm singing, doot, 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 looking out my back door. Tambourines and elephants are playing in the band. Won't you take a ride on the flying spoon? Doot, 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 bother me tomorrow. Today I'll find no sorrow. Doot, 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 looking out my back door. Doot, 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 looking out my back door.
Thank you, Chaz. Stay tuned for more with Chaz and the Greater Columbus Arts Council and my guests, Opera Project Columbus. And John Kuhn will be here from Actors Theater. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Thank you, our producer, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy. We are talking about summertime arts in the city of Columbus with Dion Bennett from Opera Project Columbus, with John Kuhn from Actors Theater Columbus, who is just joining us. Delighted you're here, John. And Jamie Goldstein from the Greater Columbus Arts Council, who's brought a wonderful musician. So, Jamie, tell me what Chaz is going to be doing with GCAC. I know he does a lot of things, but specifically the new program.
Well, he's a musician that's been around for a long time and has been working with one of our partners. In April, we started a street performer database, which has been affectionately shortened to the Busker database, which we love. And one of our partners in that is the Pearl Market, and Chaz is performing, I think it's towards the end of July 29th or 26th.
I actually have one coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Oh, you do?
June 24th.
June 24th.
Tuesday.
Great. Sorry. So we also have Moonlight Market on Gay Street as a partner, the Gallery Hop with the Short North Arts District, the Columbus Airport, and the Columbus Convention Center. And we have probably 150 artists signed up now, musicians, acrobats, jugglers. Really, it runs the gamut. And we wanted to give a central place for people to go if they want to enliven the streets of Columbus. So we're you know, we're going to continue to grow this program, and artists can sign up anytime, and they basically just need their basics and a sound file or a video and a picture, and then our partners check in and book them through this system.
I remember a time when buskers were not encouraged to be out and about playing, not specifically in Columbus. I wasn't living here then, but I know that sometimes it was a hard time. So to have your agency, have GCAC sponsoring and encouraging this, I think is terrific. So we have all kinds of musicians and artists throughout the city performing as we go about our lives. They become the music of the city. And Chaz, I wonder if you'd give us some more music.
Sure, I'd be
Thank
glad
you.
To.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll just pick my guitar a little bit this
okay.
time, all right? This makes me less nervous than talking about it.
I like your singing too.
Thank you, Chaz. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
So, now, will the buskers, you mentioned specific places like the airport, like the Short North. Will the buskers downtown, for example, would they be sort of wandering around, or are they going to be rooted to one spot? How is this going to work?
At the moment, the project is with specific partners, the ones I mentioned.
Right.
But we hope to grow it. And if anyone is interested in trying to reach out to these musicians or performers, they can contact me at GCAC and I can help them connect with them. This system with our partners is... the goal was to pay these artists. We really, and as opposed to them just putting out their guitar box or hat and working for tips, we really wanted to demonstrate monetarily the value that they bring to the city and to our creative vitality. So through our partners, and some of them are putting in matching funds to this, we're paying our artists to be out on the street and lend this. I love that phrase, Christopher, the music of our city. That's really lovely.
I'm good, aren't I?
You are good. You are so good.
Thank you very much. John Cute is here from Actors Theater of Columbus. And I told Dion Bennett in Opera Project Columbus that I was sick and I blew off rehearsal and I went to see your Hamlet on a wonderful hillside in Schiller Park last week. And you guys, when you guys do Hamlet and things, you don't fool around, do you? So let's
we
talk
try
about
to
what's
give it its due worth.
What's now. Going on with Actors Theater?
A lot. Hamlet still has two more weekends, and it has gotten very good reviews, and the audience response has been wonderful, and we've had great weather, and I think we're going to have pretty good weather this weekend as well. So two more weekends for that. We're also doing two shows currently at Easton. We're doing A Most Rare Vision on Friday evenings, and then we're doing All the Great Books Abridged on Saturday evenings in the Square. So that will go on through the month of June.
Is that like the complete works of Shakespeare abridged? It's a
different
one?
Yes.
Explain how that works.
It's by the same three guys. So you have three guys covering all of the great books that we should have read in high school, but probably didn't. And it is sort of, imagine a mashup of the three Stooges, the Monty Python. It is just farce, fun. And whether you've read those books or not, you'll have a great time.
It's a little naughty, too, and it's a lot of fun.
not so much. But we've made it family friendly.
Yeah,
and we had our opening night last Saturday for all the great books, and we had about 130 people there, and it went very well.
One thing that I really was glad to see or hear was that the sound quality in your outdoor venue is quite good, which can be dicey for places. But I got every word.
Well, great. We did a fundraiser this year to upgrade our sound equipment, to get a new board. We had help with the Greater Columbus Arts Council, and we have gotten new microphones, new speakers, new board, and that is a concern. I mean, when you're dealing with some of the best words ever written, you want to make sure that the audience hears them. And so that sound quality has always been one of our concerns. And so I think this year it's at an even better level. We had a gentleman... from OSU help us, Jim Knapp help us shape the sound system, and he and his crew really did a marvelous job. They were marvelous.
Let's fine-tune a little bit. Your productions are performed in the summer, at least, in Schiller Park, outdoors. What days, what times?
All that information is on our website, theactorstheater.org. But basically, it's every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 at Schiller Park, from Memorial Day to Labor Day weekend.
So show up on those days. You'll see something
wonderful.
You'll
see something, okay. Right.
You're also doing the Barber of Seville, so nobody is going to be up there singing Figaro, 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 because the Barber of Seville was a play before it was an opera.
Correct.
So talk about that a little bit.
By Beaumarchais. It's a marvelous, sort of based on the Commedia characters that go back a little bit further. But yes, it's a fun farce that brings and introduces the Figaro character to world literature. And so we're introduced to the character, and it's just a lot of fun comic situations. It's marvelous comedy.
Plus, The Merry Wives of Windsor is back.
And
yes.
Then The Merry Wives of Windsor. It's been about 11 years since
which
we did
that. Which is
very
funny.
Yes.
Hamlet's not so funny. In fact, you often do very heavy tragedies.
We try to mix it up.
Yeah.
Our audiences, this is our 33rd season, and it's amazing how supportive not only the German Village community, but the greater Columbus community has been. And in terms of supporting those very serious dramas and tragedies, we've done Macbeth and Lear and Hamlet. This is our third production of Hamlet in those 33 years. And as artistic director, I feel it's my mandate to try to prevent. Woo, Freudian slip there. Present a wide range of things for our audience, so that we try to do some swashbucklers, some tragedies, some comedies, some romances. So just a wide range of things for our audience.
I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about the summertime arts, although I don't think the season ever ends in Columbus. There's always something great going on. We have Chaz Meckenbier here, who is an artist and performer. We have John Kuhn, who is the artistic director of Actors Theater in Columbus. Jamie Goldstein from the Greater Columbus Arts Council, and Dion Bennett from Opera Project Columbus. If you would like to call in and talk to our good folks and talk about the arts in Columbus, 292-8513. That's a 614 number, 292-8513, or you may send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Jamie Goldstein, what exactly is the purpose of GCAC, the Greater Columbus Arts Council?
Our primary mission is to provide support to artists and arts organizations in Central Ohio. We receive, as you mentioned before, money from the city through the hotel motel bed tax, and we partner with organizations like Experience Columbus and all of our arts organizations to really make the arts vital in Columbus.
But really practically, because I noticed when John Kuhn was talking about a new sound system, you two made eye contact. GCAC was involved with that.
We have a new program called Power to Give. That's Power with the number 2, Give. And they launched a project. Organizations can get up to $10,000. We have some matching funds in there. You guys had one of the most creative ones. I think Hark, Let Us Be Heard was a great project title. And it was specific. So we're limited in how much capital funds we can provide to organizations for bricks and mortar things, because we're primarily programming.
That's the non-sexy stuff that you have to have.
But
right?
Every organization has to have it. We provide operating support to 25 organizations in the city, and that's good basic money. But project support is a big pool as well for smaller organizations. And so they have a hard time sometimes getting those funds to, it isn't sexy. So it's not necessarily something you can sell to a corporate sponsor. Exactly. It can be something as unsexy as that. So we are really delighted that you guys had such success with that project. That was wonderful.
And Dion Bennett, let's talk a little bit more about Opera Project Columbus this weekend. So this was founded by two people who met in a church choir.
Yes. In a community choir.
I think it was
Capriccio.
Yes, and they have been guests on Music in Mid-Ohio. They were very fine. They started from scratch, and I think it was now three or four years ago.
This is now our third season.
You're doing, and you do sort of a main stage, I guess you call it, production in the late spring, early summer.
Yes.
But you do more than that.
We do more than that. We usually start our season in around the October time. And during that time, we have been putting together, at least for the last two seasons, putting together a scenes program. And with that scenes program, we incorporate, there are a lot of singers here. And so those who don't get on to the main stage. We put them, we have them in the scenes program, and we put together some pretty interesting scenes.
Tell me
programs.
About the last one, the one in February. That was, I think, that's one of the best things I ever saw.
We did Arias in Ebony, and what we wanted to do was celebrate opera by African-American composers. A lot of this opera has not even been published. And so we were able to get a hold of it, and we put together singers. It wasn't one race of singers. It was with the intent that this music needed to be heard and sung and performed by everybody. And so we had all opera by African-American composers. We did some Treemonisha. We did William Grant Still. We did Adolphus Hale Stork.
You told me one time that you were literally copying things down in libraries because
yes.
And you were sneezing because it was dusty old uh-huh. manuscripts no one's touched for 100 years.
No one's touched. The one piece that I did was handwritten, and I had to call the archive, which was at Columbia University in New York, to get a librarian who was nice enough to call the family to get the rights or just permission to perform it. Then she had to get the microfiche down and send that to me. And still, it was gray. You could barely read it. But we had some incredible musicians, and we kind of deciphered what was going on, and we performed that doggone thing.
You did indeed to packed houses, and that's something I want you to take on the road to record. But that's that's another show. I must tell you that the level of acting and musician, the artistic level in Columbus is very, very high in my experience.
Absolutely,
I have never seen a dud. Anywhere. I've seen plenty of duds that I paid a lot of money for in other cities, but I really have never seen a dud in anything that is community-based, community-supported, where a lot of the personnel live here. You know, they live and work here. They could do this work anywhere, but they happen to live here in Columbus, and I think that's a big part of, in my understanding, in my feeling of GCAC's mandate is to continue that support for these folks. John Kuhn, is this a good city to produce theater?
It is. I mean, look at how many different production companies there are doing a wide range of things. So, as you said, I think we have a really deep, wide field of talent, especially in the theater arts. And so, yeah, we have a lot of things going on. And that's great for the audience.
How about, Chaz, for a musician, for an artist to live here?
This is a great town. I'm originally from Dayton, and I like to say that I moved to Columbus 3 different times. I lived in Nashville for several years, and when time came to move back to Ohio, I thought about going back to my hometown, but I saw so much opportunity here. And this is the vitality's not gone from Columbus. It's almost like a boom town, and thanks to people like Jamie's organization, they're bringing audiences and entertainers together.
What kind of work are you able to do here? What kind of musical work that pays you?
I play at corporate events, pool parties, private stuff. There are concert venues all over town, from Worthington to Grove City, east and west. There are stages where we're hired, thankfully, to perform, either through ticket sales or through prepaid things. So plenty of opportunity for live music, and there's just so much great support.
And having asked you that, can I ask you for another song?
Well, I'd be glad
Thank
to.
Thank you.
Try and stop me.
All right, good. I don't want to stop.
I love the Beatles. I don't get too far away from them.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right. Little darling, I feel the ice is slowly melting. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Thank you very much, Charles Meckenmeyer. You are part of what you do, not all of what you do, but part of you is the, can we call it buskers.com
sure.
or Buskers Program
I like it.
At GCAC. And Jamie Goldstein, before we go to our next break, just review very quickly again, this program is new or recent, and is it unprecedented, do you think, in the country, or do you know it's...
We haven't seen I have not found evidence of another local arts agency that has set up something like this to support the artists financially. There are cities that have permitting processes and that kind of thing for buskers. But I think we're paying them.
Yeah.
We're paying them. We set aside $15,000 this year, and hopefully we can grow that. And that's matched. It's actually a total of $25,000 for the year with the matching funds from our partners.
And are people already out there working?
Yes. People are out there working. Gallery hops on Saturdays. You'll see them at Pearl Market, Tuesdays and Fridays, at Moonlight Market, which is coming up this weekend, Saturday on Gay Street. The airport has a program. If you fly in on certain days, you'll see performers. And then the convention center, we're connecting conventions with this.
No more people selling little flowers at the airport. Now we have wonderful music supported by a city agency, which I think is wonderful. If you'd like to join the conversation, 292-8513. You may also go to allsides@wosu.org and send us an email. We're talking about specifically the summertime performing arts opportunities here in Central Ohio. But as I say, it never goes away, luckily. There's always a lot to do, a lot to see and hear. And we're talking with John Kuhn from Actors Theatre Columbus. We're talking with Charles Menkenbayer, who is an artist who just gave us a couple of songs. We talked to Jamie Goldstein from Greater Columbus Arts Council and Dion Bennett from Opera Project Columbus, and we will be back in 1 minute. Don't you dare go away. We are back on our final segment of today's All Sides Weekend, talking about the performing arts, specifically during the summertime in Columbus. And I had meant to ask Jamie Goldstein from GCAC about how all of the things that you do is made accessible to the community. How do we find you and find out what's going on?
If you want to find out more about GCAC and our grant programs, go to gcac.org. But we have an events calendar called columbusarts.com, where people can find all of the wonderful events in the arts, because Columbus is a great city for the arts year-round. And then they can also find artists and classes at that database. So columbusarts.com.
So listen, just from the people in this room right now, this weekend you can go and see Hamlet at Actors Theatre out in a gorgeous outdoor setting. You can hear wonderful musicians like Chaz around the city, and you can go to the opera in the next 72 hours. You can do all of that in Columbus, Ohio, and it won't break you financially as well. Actors Theatre is free.
Well, we do ask for donations.
Well, yeah, we pass the boot, but it is free. Does that work out okay?
It's a challenge sometimes. We're always seeking and looking for other support and sponsors, corporate and
I think you should have a busker on stage yelling, "What do you mean, $15? That's ridiculous. Pass the thing again."
That might disturb the Hamlet. But it is always a challenge to get the word out that we need and depend upon that community support.
Okay. So, bring what you'd spend for a nice dinner. Bring a sandwich and come to Schiller Park and give the rest of the money to Actors Theater of Columbus. I was going to ask you something. It just went out of my head. So I'm going to ask Dion Bennett again from Opera Project Columbus. You have two performances. Why only two performances of Pagliacci?
Well, Pagliacci, even though it's a short opera, it's still a 29-piece orchestra. You've got five principals, but we've got it still a chorus. So it can get a little expensive after a while. So, two performances. We're still building our audience. But once you see the maestro on the podium, you see the orchestra, they're actually going to be on the stage. It's at the JCC.
The Jewish Center of Columbus,
Jewish
right?
Community Center.
College Avenue, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a very small stage. And so you've got the orchestra, 29 pieces, plus you've got all these singers on stage, plus you've got children. Children from the Columbus International Choir.
Now, that's interesting, because when I was told children would be in the show, I'm thinking 12, 13. This is first grade. These are little kids.
8-year-olds.
No, they're a little younger than that, some of them. And they are nothing but energetic and terrific and delightful. Two little boys fell asleep during the rehearsal. But it was wonderful. And I think it's wonderful to involve children.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have, as you said, every kind of walk of life
yes.
on the stage. You have you know, high-priced professionals, and you have people finding their way still in this production. You can get more information at operaprojectcolumbus.org. And as I've said before, full disclosure, I am involved with this, but it is worth even so knowing more about and talking more about, because it is a quality production and it is conducted by the ever charming and occasionally even more charming Alessandro Siciliani, who is conducting the performances tonight and tomorrow. And let's hear, Amy, if we could hear a little bit more music. You all might recognize this from a commercial for Rice Krispies that was done before any of these people in this room were born, but I remember it. Go ahead. Now, years in the early 70s, there was a commercial where a family was sitting down for Rice Krispies and there weren't any more. No more Rice Krispies. And it went on for that. And then his mother-in-law arrived with Rice Krispies, and she was a large, loud lady. You know, 62 seconds, it was sort of a pocket version of what we know as Pagliacci, which is the story of a group of clowns, traveling clowns, who get into all kinds of tragedy with some adultery and some. This is probably an R-rated opera.
It very well could be. I mean, however, there are children.
Yeah, there are children in it. Yeah, in but it. I had to say to the teacher, "Do these kids know what this opera is about?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, let's talk about a teaching moment here, just because there was going to be some violence within 2 feet of where they were sitting." But they, you know, they covered their ears when they should, and they laughed when they should, and I think the kids were having a good time, and their parents were very much in the audience for all the rehearsals as well.
Absolutely,
that's this weekend. John Kuhn, Actors Theater, I'm just curious how you go about programming. I'm always fascinated by any company that programs. Like, is there a mathematical formula that you have to do about what?
Well, not really. Our mission is to present Shakespeare and other classical authors to the greater Columbus art community in an exciting, engaging way. And so in that mandate, I look for things that perhaps have not been done in a while, or also look for a balance in the offerings. One of the reasons we're doing all the great books is it's a great entree, and with complete works of Shakespeare as well. You don't have to have any experience with Shakespeare or the great books, and yet if we can entice one person to read a book because of their seeing of the show, that's a win.
Oh, that you will. I mean, certainly I, being in the audience for your Shakespeare, the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, which was done by three goofy and wonderful guys, I did see lights going on in the audience from people as well. So that's something. Now, what? So you're working primarily in the summer, is that right?
Primarily, but we also do collaborations. We'll be doing one with the greater Columbus School for Girls in November. We'll be doing As You Like It, and we've done two previous productions with them, typically in the early February time slot.
Where do you find your actors?
Mainly we draw upon their school students. Janetta Davis is a marvelous instructor over there, and so we utilize a lot of their students, but then we'll bring in typically the guys for some of the male roles. And it's been a marvelous collaboration. We did Trojan Women, The Crucible.
And you did the Trojan Women, Euripides' Trojan Women.
Yes, we did. Yes. And we bring in a few of our actors. We have auditions, but then we try to draw in and use as many of the students as possible.
Sister Frances Michael would not have been doing the Trojan Women back in the day, just so you know. But I'm delighted. But what I meant was also the actors that we see in the park, in Schiller Park, the adult, if you will, professional-level actors. Where do you find them?
We have auditions early in the year every year, and it's two weekends or 2 days over at the German Village, a meeting house. And these, it's a wide spectrum of actors that we draw from. A lot of them are students, MFA students and BFA students over at OSU or Otterbein or Denison, local colleges. But we also have, we've developed community actors who've been involved for years. Greg Hoffman, the ghost in Hamlet, he was in Othello and Merry Wives of Windsor way back when.
I remember him in Othello. He was terrific.
He was marvelous. And so he's back in town. And so over the years, we've developed and worked with a wide range of actors, and their skill levels have grown and improved. And so it's, and we also offer classes for adults. So that
you do. You know,
Andy Falter is teaching classes throughout the summer, and then we were offering a number of summer camps for students. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved.
And your current production of Hamlet has an interesting casting choice for the title role, which is not unprecedented, but it's unusual. It's not something people have really. It will surprise a number of people.
It might. It has a long history. We have cast a woman in the role of Hamlet, playing it as a man. And the history of it goes all the way back to Sarah Siddons in the Restoration period. And there have been more modern iterations of that as well. Sarah Bernhardt did it in the early part
of
the 20th
century. Judith Anderson, I think, did it.
Judith Anderson. Yeah. And more recently at Edinburgh, there was a female Hamlet. The nature of it is to give a more universal lens with which to look at the themes and topics and issues that Hamlet deals with, and makes it much more universal for us as audience. She is not playing it as a butched up or very mannish. It's almost androgynous in terms of the characterization, but it allows us to engage and deal with these universal themes, I think, in a much more universal way.
Also, and Hamlet shouldn't be too, he should be just about pubescent. I mean, he shouldn't be too old, right?
He's a college student.
He's a kid, yeah.
So I think Grace Bolander, who's doing a marvelous job.
She's gotten a lot of very positive attention for this.
She has. Well, and we have worked with her a number of times. She was Elizabeth Proctor in our production of Crucible. She played Juliet in last year's production of Romeo and Juliet at the Commons. And so this is a student that we've had a chance to work with a number of times, and she has grown immensely as an artist. I mean, she is doing an amazing job for a recent high school graduate. She just graduated from the Columbus School for Girls.
That surprises me that she's so young. But she looked young on stage, but to have that kind of talent at that age to do Hamlet is extraordinary, and I congratulate her and you for that. When you go to the theater, when you go to Actors Theater, it's in English, and it's well heard thanks to GCAC and the new sound system. Mm-hmm. When you go to the opera, it is not often in English, and it is not spoken.
It is not.
It is sung, and so that is a barrier to a lot of people who only think it's people screaming at each other, and why would anybody do that, never mind sit through it. Let's talk about, Dionne, what people need to understand to entice them to attend.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, what draws me is the incredible music. It's incredible. However, I didn't grow up in an operatic background. I didn't grow up in a family that had opera. So we need to have something that's accessible to my family. My family, they want to hear gospel and whatever. Well, you've got this incredible story unfolding on stage. You've got this woman and this man, they're interacting. Then you've got other men that she's interacting with. And even though it's in Italian, you have English translations going on.
That is it's not a recent development, but it's the last 30 years.
Yes.
Opera was always done in the original language, so if you didn't know German or Italian, you were at a big disadvantage.
Yes.
And very often you had people who don't speak Italian singing to you in Italian, and you don't speak Italian either, so it was a real party.
Yes.
It was very controversial. I remember in the early 1980s, they now project English language titles above the stage that you can look at, and a lot of people were shocked by it, which I think is absolute nonsense. I think it's wonderful. I think people really get to be in the middle of the story. So virtually every production of any opera now has those titles.
Yes.
You have to, and it's a good thing.
Absolutely, and we do have those titles. We also try to make sure our audience knows what's going to happen so that they're free to hear the music, free to watch how it unfolds on stage. When you will see you know, Silvio and Nedda engaged.
Silvio's the guy she's cheating on with, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Silvio is the guy Nedda is cheating with. Tonio has fallen in love with her as well, and Kanyo is supposed to be her husband.
And he knows what's going on.
And he knows that there's an issue. He knows there's an issue.
An issue. Several issues from where I'm sitting.
and he turns out, he shows his rage, he shows his jealousy, he really breaks out. And what we just heard is one of the most incredible arias written. And when I first heard it, I almost cried. And even just now when I heard the clip, I wanted to cry again. I mean, when you see how broken this man is because he knows that there are things going on, but he still has to put on a smile and still be a clown and still go on and perform. So
there is a little play within a play.
Yes.
These traveling players do their little commedia thing, and everybody is trying to stay in character, but Kanyo, the husband, cannot. And he finally says, "I am not a clown," and he wipes the makeup from his face, and then he kills you.
Yes, he
and
kills
your,
me.
And your boyfriend, yes.
And I die well.
You do die well, yes. don't get up lucky to the other night, though, until, you know, the lights go down. Pagliacci Clowns is performed by Opera Project Columbus tomorrow night at 8 and Sunday at 3 at the Jewish Center of Columbus. Come on down. You don't have to know anything except you're about to have a wonderful experience. Actors Theater of Columbus, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays at 8 through the summer. You don't have to know what you're seeing because you're going to see something wonderful. Bring a picnic and come down there. It's a lovely spot, Schiller Park.
Beautiful.
And there's a lot of shade, too. If it's a hot night, you can sort of be, you can actually be comfortable, which is nice. Hamlet is going on right now. I thought it said Marat Sade, but no. It's The Barber of Seville, The Merry Wives of Windsor, and tell me about The Hound of the Baskervilles, September.
We're doing a collaboration both with COSAI, who has their Sherlock Holmes exhibit going on through September 1, and then the Gateway Film Center. They are collaborating. We're doing a fundraiser and gala on June 25th. They'll be showing Sherlock Holmes. And then we're doing Hound of the Baskervilles, September 5 through 14, at the Commons. And this is a three-person spoof. Where they,
is it the same three guys?
No, it's written actually by a different company,
okay.
But it is structured in some similar ways where you have three guys playing a wide range of characters and having fun and some serious moments portraying this marvelous novel, The Hound of the Baskervilles by Conan Doyle.
I know there's a production of Macbeth, or the Scottish play, I should say, in New York right now, with one actor. Alan Cumming played the whole thing by himself. Can't imagine how, but to go see that, you'd be paying a lot more money than you would coming to see the whole show with everybody at Actors Theater.
Yes.
Right. And Jamie Goldstein, before I ask Chaz to sing us out, I wanted to just make sure that you can update us on what we look forward to with GCAC, if you'd review for us the Busker Initiative and any new projects that are coming down.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to, the Busker Program, the Street Performer Database, people can go to gcac.org to sign up for that, and we encourage artists to sign up for that. We've got lots of fun things coming down the pike for GCAC, but I'd love to just take a moment to talk briefly about some really great things that are happening this summer, if you don't mind, Chris. We have wonderful festivals, obviously, this season. Next week, is Pride and Juneteenth. The following weekend, ComFest in the Easton Art Affair. Of course, the Ohio State Fair has a wonderful fine arts exhibition that's in late July, early August. Festival Latino, August 8th, 9th through the 10th. Hot Times rounding out the summer, the 5th through the 7th of September. Tonight, another partnership with Gateway is the Downtown Drive-In, which started at the North Market. They're showing Ghostbusters, which
really?
Is a lot of fun. We have a Downtown Drive-In in Columbus, one of the only in the country. I think it might be the only country in the country. Franklin Park Conservatory and Botanical Gardens this weekend is doing a Father's Day special event with rock climbing and live fire cooking demonstrations. There's the Thurber Summer Reading Series. There's the Kappa Summer Movie Series, which is awesome.
All kinds of, I mean, there's no excuse to stay home right
there's
now.
There's no excuse to stay home. Go to ColumbusArts.com and you'll find out more.
Father's Day on Sunday, you can go see Daddy kill everybody at Pagliacci with Opera Project Columbus.
Oh, I
Columbus.
Forgot.
What?
There is also a surprise Father's Day piece.
Piece, right. So
for... for Father's Day weekend.
Come on out. And John Kuhn, thank you. Any last word for us?
If I could mention our plates and plays in the park, we're doing collaboration with Schmitz, Katzinger's, and Max and Irma's. On, you can get a meal and bring it down to the park, and some of the proceeds of that will come back and help support Actors Theater.
Good.
So it's a great collaboration.
Eat a lot and go see a show. Chaz, would you sing us out, please? Thank you to John Kuhn, to Jamie Goldstein, and to Dion Bennett. And Chaz Meckenbier, sing us out.
John has offered or threatened to join me in this one.
Blackbirds singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly into the light of a dark black night.
Thanks, Christopher, for having
us. Thank you all very much. Thank you so much. Thank you, David Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy. Good afternoon.